It's The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. A beautiful Friday. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
How do you know we're here?
And how do you know it's beautiful?
Why, is it raining out there?
Yes.
It's beautiful out here in Southern California, that's for sure.
Does it rain in Southern California? Remember that song?
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
The Padres had a game rained out this year, I think, already, which never happens.
Yeah.
I want you to understand something. Next time I come to California, I might not even pack a shirt. I just, you don't need one. I mean, really.
Trust me, you need one.
No, I don't, really. Trust me, I don't. Not out here.
Arnie, I may be wrong, but I really do picture you going to the beach or the swimming pool with the sunscreen all on the nose that you can see and with a T-shirt on.
And an inflatable tube around my waist? Is that?
No, I don't picture that. I just picture you swimming with a shirt on.
Are you one of those guys with muscle shirts and hairy shoulders?
I am going down after the show today, down to Venice Beach, which is about, without traffic at midnight, 6 minutes away, during rush hour on a Friday, probably an hour and a half. And if I'm lucky, find the parking spot, which probably cost me about a couple $100s, and go play some basketball. So I'm looking forward to that.
You need to work on your jumper, and so the best place to do that is go out west where there's even better competition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe Kobe will show up and have some pointers for you.
It's you know what? I will Facebook it live. It's right next to Muscle Beach, Rich. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You will Facebook live?
Yeah, I will I'll do something live. I don't know what exactly.
He'll do it while alive.
Video, any of that stuff. But, wow, busy show today. Enough of me just sitting around without my shirt feeling fat today. What's coming up on the show, Brady?
Well, we got plenty to get to on the show. Remember also, Tuesday night, hard to believe, we're at the end of 1 week. We're looking forward to another Tuesday night, trivia night at the Burger Bar, 7:30 to 9:30. You can join us there. We always have a really strong crowd. College students looking to unwind before the end of the semester. Townspeople looking to come out for a good time, good mix of everybody. And, Rich, you're going to be hosting this week.
I am, but I heard Tom Caron's kid absolutely rocked the roof off of that place last night.
Really? Yes,
yes.
That's right. Tom Caron's son, Jack. You know, he's a good friend. This is funny. We have to mention this. Arnie, you're going to like this.
Yeah.
Tom Caron's son, Jack, who played in the band, played at Burger Bar last night, he is good friends with our intern, Nathan, who just yesterday was his last day. They are going to Italy or something this year, and our intern, Nathan, is rooming with Tom Caron's son for that trip.
Small world.
So we're going to have to mention intern Nathan to Tom Caron on Tuesday.
I want to go to Italy.
Well, I'm sure they'd love to have you along.
Be the chaperone.
When Los Angeles throws you out, then you can go to Italy next.
Who's going to chaperone me? That's
all. The mistake of the day, remember, you can get that in. We give away that baseball cap at the end of today's show. So mistakes of the day, get them in. 802-655-6672. And that baseball hat is brought to you by the Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for what's coming up today, Arnie, we'll get into the Giants pick of Saquon Barkley in about 15 minutes. The Patriots use both of their first-round picks. We'll get you ready for day two of the draft. The Celtics lose. We've still got power play, even though you're on location. First, though, overall, Arnie, your take on day one of the draft as a whole, not just the regional teams, as a whole.
Yeah. Boy, I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it had all the suspense, all the drama, must-see TV. It was everything I was going to hope for. You didn't know exactly, was Baker Mayfield going to be taken number one overall? You heard the rumors out there. Would they really pass on Sam Darnold? I thought the Giants would trade the pick at number two. A little bit of a mix-up, not mix-up, a little bit of a different order of quarterbacks than I thought it was going to be. It had intrigue. I nailed some things right where I thought Buffalo would trade up and get the quarterback they wanted. They did. They did a tremendous job. I thought Arizona were big winners where they traded up to get Josh Allen.
Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen, excuse me. That was phenomenal. You know, it was really just a great draft all the way around, and it was just enjoyable to watch, waiting for the next shoe to drop and who was going to be taken. But the first 10 picks were fantastic.
Yeah, and you knew it was going to be a fun night when the number one pick is a complete shock. I mean, I not complete, but. Yeah. Not a lot of people, and I mean, for what it's worth, for the last 8 weeks, people just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping they're right. But, I mean, not a lot of people. I didn't hear a lot of conversation about Baker Mayfield to the Browns until yesterday morning, as if they had just heard something, perhaps. But after that, that just threw everything into a loop. And, I mean, the Giants pick certainly made sense, and we'll talk about that later. But Denzel Ward, if I'm a Browns fan, I'm not real thrilled with yesterday.
Well, people are – if you said – and we're going to talk – speaking of Browns fans, we're going to talk to Brent Sobleski, who covers the NFL for Bleacher Report. Now, he covers the whole draft. He also happens to be a Browns fan, though, and covers the Browns also for Bleacher Report. Now, he said on Twitter, take the names out of it, take your preconceived notions out of it. If I told you you got the best quarterback and the best defensive back in the draft, most people would be happy. So he didn't get people hammering on the Browns. Arnie, my takes overall – look, obviously it was quarterback-driven like we thought it would be. There were four quarterbacks taken in the top 10 for the first time in the common draft era. And, I mean, that's history right there. Yesterday was a historic day for the quarterbacks. I chose to look at it, though, from more of a changing in the guard of the importance of positions in the league. We saw six offensive linemen taken in the first round, and they're not flashy picks. They're not sexy picks, but they're necessary picks, and teams need to build from the offensive line out. And we saw the wide receiver really take a hit here. I want to say it's the second latest or something that a wide receiver's been taken in a while.
Before Calvin Ridley was what, DJ Moore?
Yeah, it was DJ Moore. Right? Yeah, so here we go. I got it right here. Wide receiver's not as popular in round one. DJ Moore being the first off the board at 24. This was the fifth longest wait for the first wide receiver in the common era draft, in the common draft era. Fifth longest wait. So we're more offensive linemen, less wideouts. I thought it was interesting.
We always devalued the wideouts. We said that, if you're not an Antonio Brown, if you're not, that's why I wasn't shocked about Brandon Cooks being shipped out. I mean, he just didn't work out. And like you see, wide receivers, and for the most part, you could really plug in a lot of guys in certain spots and get away with it, like Tom Brady has. He has not had the flashiest wide receivers like he has had running backs, but it's worked out good for the Patriots. So you're right, wide receivers big time devalued. The running back kind of getting back up there, and I think a lot of running backs are going to be taken in today's draft too.
Yeah, it was funny because, everybody's talking about how it's a pass-happy league now, and you've got to get the speedsters, the speed burners, and, who can go deep and score points. Let's face it, that's the new NFL. But yeah, like you said, there was almost nobody taken. The running backs got taken. And by the way, go ahead and gloat, or should we wait for the next series?
We're going to wait for Arnie to gloat about about the Patriots.
I'm dreading this.
But
I nailed that like crazy. Jeez.
No, you did not. You said they would trade up and take Saquon Barkley.
I wanted them to. That's for sure.
But you did say they were going to go after a running back, and we both ganged up on you. So congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. But wait till you later on. I'll tell you who I have the Patriots taking, and you'll think I'm crazy for what they're going to do in round two.
Okay. The other thing, from the Patriots rivals standpoint, the AFC East teams. Look, I love what the Jets did in getting Darnold. I thought that they were going to get Baker Mayfield. I thought they wanted Mayfield. I thought he would play well in New York. But when he was gone and you're left with Darnold, who a lot of people think is the most pro-ready, maybe the safest bet to be really good, maybe doesn't have the ceiling of a Rosen or a Mayfield, I think you've got to be thrilled if you're a Jet fan, and I think you've got to be disappointed if you're a Patriot fan, maybe not for the immediate future, but in the next 5 years at having to go up against him. I did not like the Bills selecting Josh Allen.
Oh, well, I wasn't crazy about them taking Josh Allen over Josh Rosen, but I certainly could understand that with the cold weather and the Wyoming connection out there. But Sam Darnold, I really believe, and maybe I'm nuts on this, that because he's not outspoken, because he's not a Baker Mayfield type, you know, the kind that talks smack in the field and, you know, does certain things, you know, on the sideline and plant the flag. And let's remember, Sam Darnold, 20 years old, Baker Mayfield, 23, and I don't think Cleveland wants to wait around for Sam Darnold to, you know, mature. That's the only reason why I feel that Baker Mayfield was taken over Sam Darnold, but I think Sam Darnold has more of an upside, though. I think both are going to be really good quarterbacks. And as you mentioned, look, I'm more of a Josh Rosen fan. You guys have known that for months now. My order was Sam Darnold and then Josh Rosen. I don't have anything against Josh Allen. You know, I like his size. I like his strength. I still think the Bills did the right thing by trading up and getting him because you couldn't let one of these quarterbacks pass. And it's 50-50 at this point, but, you know, they did the right thing in trading up and getting Josh Allen.
Yeah, Arnie, you and I both thought Sam Darnold was going to go first. I was very surprised he didn't. The Jets had to be ecstatic. But, man, I hope he's ready to take his lumps. I mean, you got McCown, you got Teddy Bridgewater in there. I mean, I would assume that's the end of Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg, safe to say. But, I mean, he's coming into a very difficult situation. I hope you call him NFL ready, but and he may be the savior after all these draft misses and after the veteran band-aids that the Jets have been full of. But, you know, at some point, I think they're going to need to practice a little bit, maybe a year or two of patience with him.
Yeah, I don't think he's going into that dire of a situation because he's not going in to play right away. He's going in. He's got – now, you can say whatever you want about Johnny Manziel, but Johnny Manziel has been very outspoken in saying that year one – the Browns and I together did not do a good job of getting me ready to play. But year two, I felt much more prepared because Josh McCown was there. So Josh McCown is there. He's known as a great teacher and a great communicator, and he is more importantly willing to be that guy in a way that Tom Brady usually isn't willing to mentor a quarterback. So Darnold's got McCown there who's willing to help him, and he's got no pressure to play at this very moment in time, and they're building a decent defense in New York at least.
I'll tell you what, though, as soon as McCown has his first 6-for-19 with two interceptions in New York, guess what?
McCown had a great year this year.
I understand that, but I guarantee you they're not going to like the fans. The media is not going to like Darnold sitting around.
Arnie, you liked – it's not so much that I disagreed with the Bills trading up to get a quarterback, but I disagreed with them trading up to get Josh Allen. Now, again – you have been much higher on Josh Rosen than I have, but everybody has agreed that Josh Rosen is a very good quarterback, and he may have the highest ceiling of anybody in this draft. He was available. If you were going to trade up to 7, why didn't they take Rosen?
You know, did you see his face when he was the last quarterback taken? You could see the steam coming off him. You could see the steam coming out of his ears. And let me tell you something. Had Arizona not traded up to get him and just said, you know what, let's take a chance, let's see if he falls to us, boy, the next hour would have been really uncomfortable for him. He came out, and if you listen to the first thing he said, I was counting this because this is how crazy I am. In the first question, I don't even know what the first question was. He could have said, how you doing, Josh? He used the word, I am motivated, 4 to 5 times in like 6 seconds.
Wow.
He just went, I'm motivated now. And you could tell he was upset. I like Josh Rosen. I think he's just misunderstood. I think he's got the maturity you want. I know he's not the best decision maker out there, but I'm tired of hearing of that baloney. And even in the comeback against Texas A&M, he did get lucky. There was an A&M defenseman that let the ball go through his fingers. And I know that's all luck when you have a comeback like that. But overall, if he stays healthy, I think he has more of an upside than Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield.
Here was Josh Rosen after he was selected. You talk about that motivation. You talk about that fire. Here's what he said.
Listen.
I was pretty pissed off I fell. 1, 2, and 3 went by. And just kind of went into a blur after that. I was really angry. Teams were passing on me. And I was honestly expecting to get picked at some point and have to fake a smile and go up and pretend to be happy. But for some reason, when I got picked, all of that went away. And it just went to straight excitement and relief.
I tell you what,
I heard the one on TV, but I haven't heard that one yet. That's funny.
I didn't like everything he had to say. He talks about there being 9 mistakes in front of him. And Stephen A. was hammering him today also, and Rich, you probably heard this. Stephen A. was hammering him saying, you fell to 10th. Somebody traded up to get you. You didn't fall to 27th or something. So he was all over him.
Well, that was absolutely, there was a huge chance he could have fallen a lot, but he should be, not only should he be glad to be an Arizona Cardinal just because that's the right thing to be, but they were aggressively going after him by getting that pick from Oakland. I mean, he could have fallen way, way down.
Yeah, he's making a little bit more of it, but that's okay. And why would he get ripped? Because he opened up his mouth. I just said that Baker Mayfield perhaps was taken number one because of his bravado and all that. So that's okay. It's damn if you do, damn if you don't. This guy says something, he's a moron. This guy doesn't say anything, he drops down to number three like Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold really came out smelling like a rose. Doesn't have to go to Cleveland. 20 years old. He'll learn a little bit in New York, and he may be the face of the Jets for like the next 15 years. Wow. I mean, you talk about a great situation. I got to be happy as could be if I'm Sam Darnold.
All right, Arnie, we need to go to break, and when we come back, we can talk about the Giants pick of Saquon Barkley, and then we'll get into what the Patriots did too.
All right. Got a lot to say about that. That's coming next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We're all here. Of course, Rich and Brady back in Burlington, Vermont. I'm out in Los Angeles, guys. Maybe we should make this a yearly thing. Every year we all three come out here and hang out for like a week or two. You like that or what? Good idea?
Let's emphasize he said all three. So, yes, I think that's an outstanding plan.
Yes, and you wanted to go a week and a half ago when it was Ohtani pitching for the Angels against the Red Sox. You wanted to make it a work trip and expense it on the boss's card.
We should. Absolutely. What? By the way, who's in town for the Dodgers or Angels? I'm looking that up now. I may go catch a game this weekend or something.
I think
like
the Yankees are.
The Yankees are playing the Angels this weekend, but I don't know if it's in L.A. or not.
It is.
Okay.
They're out there now. They're playing them tonight.
Yeah. Gee. Yeah. I may go to that tonight. How about that?
I'll tell you, the way they're hitting, they may never lose another game. They are on fire.
That game is 7 o'clock Pacific. We're off the air 3 o'clock Pacific. It would take me about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get out there to go see that game.
And how far is Dodger Stadium from where you are?
Dodger Stadium, but the Dodgers aren't in town. They're on the road in San Francisco.
Right.
That's probably like a half hour, but in traffic, again, another 2 hours. So doesn't matter.
And they're just numb to it. I remember sitting in that traffic a year ago and just looking at the people, and nobody even cared.
Yeah. No, it
just defeated.
It will really, the road rage, I've cured myself for road rage when I got to Burlington. It came right back. It's like a rash that you've had and you haven't had it for a long time.
Gross.
And you get like the really good cream and it takes care of that. All of a sudden that rash came back. I am flipping people off and I'm like yelling at people and people, you don't know how to drive. I'm the only one that knows how to drive, obviously. So it's killing me. But let's go ahead. Giants had their pick. I'm a little bit disappointed, but overall, I'm okay with it, Brady.
Well, here's how it sounded yesterday.
With the second pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State.
They're all clapping, Arnie, but I wasn't that happy about it.
No, I wasn't happy. Though, I got to be honest, I thought that you can get a lot more for that second pick. And then when I saw Buffalo move up and Arizona move up, maybe I've overestimated what it costs to move up to number two. Because I'm saying, if it's Buffalo, I'm taking both your first-round picks, obviously. I'm taking one of your second-round picks. I'm taking one of your third-round picks. I don't know if that's really being realistic because the Giants turn that pick in with still like about 3 minutes left on the clock. I'm like, wow, they don't want to hear anymore. That's it. They know what they want to do. And obviously it's Saquon Barkley. Nothing against Saquon Barkley. I love the guy. I think he's going to be a great running back. I think they could have used a lot more picks to rebuild that team. But they got a good one, and they're going to have a great back for the next 10 years. So it should be no surprise that Gettleman didn't want to trade that pick, went after rebuilding, and got themselves a real good pick. So I'm disappointed they didn't get more, maybe make a trade. But if they couldn't get enough value for it, they did the right thing in getting Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and was there any doubt that this the dreaded enamored with one certain player syndrome came over the Giants? But if you're going to be enamored with one player, to me, this is the guy to go with, because people forget the Giants are, 2 years away from playoff appearance. I mean, they just had that awful, crappy year where everything went wrong. Everybody got hurt last year. And I just really think this is a team that could go from 3 wins to at least a 500 team. And I understand the part about trading and getting somebody else. And, you know, they also could have grabbed Darnold. But I'll say it again. I don't think Eli's done for a good 2 to 3 years.
People are split on this on our Facebook page. People are split on this in the media. People are split on it on this show. It's nothing to do with Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley is a phenomenal player who put up phenomenal numbers. And I think he will ultimately add to the Giants' offense. But you needed a quarterback for the future. You needed more holes to fill. You needed to fill more holes this season. You're not a running back away from winning a Super Bowl, and therefore it doesn't feel like it's a wasted pick, but it feels like a pick that's incomplete. No matter how good Barkley is, there were other things that could have been done that suited this particular version of the Giants better. But Arnie, you said we shouldn't be surprised that they took him, and you're right about that. Dave Gettleman, remember last year? Last year in the draft, he was the GM for the Panthers, and they took Christian McCaffrey, a running back who could also be versatile in the passing game. It's no shock that he likes players with that kind of skill set, and he got another one who he thinks is even better yesterday in Saquon Barkley.
You have to understand, too, he has to make a name for himself. This is his first draft pick for the first time for the New York Giants, and maybe trading that pick, you know, it's not a way to make a big splash to the New Yorkers. So maybe we should have put that into consideration when thinking what they were going to do. And like I said, to make the pick with 3 minutes left, they didn't want to hear any more offers. Are you going to tell me there were no offers coming in for that number two pick with Sam Darnold still being on the board? I find that hard to believe that nobody was even calling up. So he wanted to make a big splash. That's what he did. And maybe for the next 10 years, he'll feel that there's some job security there, because if Saquon Barkley turns out to be the back that we all think he is, they'll have a great running game. And they'll have a great running game for Eli Manning for the next couple years while he's there.
Yeah, it's get back to smash mouth Giants football. I mean, it almost feels like they're going back to the Parcells days. Gettleman, you heard him on his press conference immediately following the pick. He said, if I could have made that pick 1 second after the number one pick was made, he would have.
And it's amazing because the Giants haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2012, and that's when Ahmad Bradshaw did it. That's, 5 seasons now the Giants haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher. That's pretty telling of what their offensive line and running game has been like for a half decade now, and this certainly alleviates it. Look, again, I thought there was more that could have been done with the pick, but you can't hate the player. You can't fault the player. Arnie, I mentioned people being split on it. Yep. Here's Dave Rothenberg, who's a radio host at ESPN in New York. Here was his thought. He's on the negative side of the pick.
I can't tell you how livid I am, and it's not a shock on Saquon Barkley. The Giants are not an elite running back away from being a team that's relevant. They won 3 games last year. The right side of the offensive line right now is 2 guys nobody's heard of, Chad Wheeler and John Jalapio. And you're telling me that Saquon Barkley is going to be the ultimate difference maker? This was a bungled pick.
Now, I tend to be more on that side. I wouldn't know what I call it, bungled, because Barkley's obviously good. But I tend to be more on that side than this side. Todd McShay after the draft also.
He can catch the football, and one of his underrated traits is his ability to block. And they need that, obviously. They've had all sorts of offensive line trouble. Now they have a running back who can pass protect. You put that with Eli, and then with Ingram at tight end, who's basically just a bulked-up wide receiver in the slot, and then with Odell Beckham Jr., now you've got some weapons if you're the New York Giants. So this offense just completely turned around with one draft pick. Yes, quarterback, it would have made sense, but I just love Saquon, and I think not only do you get that football player, but you get a guy that comes in and will become the leader of this team for many, many years.
So people split, Arnie.
And that doesn't mean the Giants can't take a quarterback later on, like a Mason Rudolph or somebody like that, a lesser-known quarterback, and see if that turns into something, or they, strike gold and, have him learn under Eli Manning for the next 2 or 3 years. So, obviously, they're all in with Eli Manning, and if that's the way it's going to be, that's fine. I don't know if it's a bungled pick, but I'm kind of on the same side. I would have tried to get as much as I could for that second pick if they weren't offering. I mean, if the Bills or Arizona or whoever, the Patriots or whoever, were calling and weren't offering me two first-round picks and two second-round picks, I'm hanging up the phone. And if I'm asking too much, then they did the right thing and they took the best running back in the draft, and that's Saquon Barkley.
Barkley is the first running back to go in the top two of the draft since Reggie Bush went second in 2006. He's also the career leader at Penn State in all-purpose yards and rushing touchdowns. One thing I had brought to my attention, though, and this does scare me. So you remember, you guys remember, we had Michael Jannetty on from SpotTrack.com. SpotTrack is the database, the website that keeps track of everybody's contracts. And they have their basically what the average of every contract is at each position and basically where the NFL sees value. Running back is the least valued position out financially outside of kicker and punter. And now the Giants, because they're paying him, they're going to pay him $8 million a year for 4 years plus a fifth-year option. That is a lot of money to be tied up in a running back.
Wow. Wow. You know, to put him that low and to think about some of the positions out there, that's like a slap in the face. And, yes, you're giving him a lot of money, but if you look what Ezekiel Elliott's done and is also helped out with the Dallas Cowboys, and to go with that 1-2 punch with Dak Prescott, then you understand when you're getting an elite running back what they could do for a team like Ezekiel has done for the Cowboys.
And you look at the situation with the Giants, though, over the years. You look at the history, and there's so many numbers that say – but you look at all these numbers, like running backs ranked 27th in yards per touch last year. Rushers averaging 1.5 yards per rush after contact. And there's this long list of things that they're either last or second or third to last in rushing last year. But the question becomes, is that the running back's fault or is that the front line? And that's what they were just talking about. They're not going to be able to run to the right this year.
I mean, and Arnie, so left tackle is what the NFL thinks the highest values contract should go to.
Right.
Left tackle, quarterback, free safety, right tackle, center, defensive end, D tackle, outside linebacker, guard, strong safety, DB, wide out, inside linebacker, tight end, and running back is last. So it's amazing.
Times have changed.
It's amazing. $8 million a year for Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Let's get to the Patriots, Arnie, because they used both of their picks yesterday. And at number 23, they drafted Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia. And then 8 picks later, they drafted his teammate, running back Sony Michel. I'll say this, and then I'll let you go first. I said it would be a success if they used both of their picks. I was happy that they didn't trade up to get a quarterback, but I was a little bit confused by the selections they made. What was your read on the Pats?
Okay, look, I knew exactly that they wanted to replace Solder. They're like, okay, we've got to get some young guys in there, whether it's going to be tackles or guards or however you want to mix them up. That's not the point now. I was a little surprised about that, but then when you take a look and you think about what Belichick was going to do, you're like, okay, he's going to replace him. But remember what I said yesterday? I said you can't replace somebody on the offensive line when you have Tom Brady at quarterback, the best of all time, with a rookie. No offense to the rookie or any rookie, when you have the quarterback that's 40-plus. That just can't happen. So you have to go out and get a free agent one. And you guys are like, where are you going to get one? Where are you going to get one? Boom! They make a trade, which I thought was tremendous in picking up Trent Brown. So with that being said, I'm okay with them going ahead and taking him as a backup, learning under Trent Brown. But what I really knew, and I told you, and this was going to happen, for them to take Sony Michel, which is maybe the best back, some people are saying, but at least maybe the second best back, I told you, when you've never had a running back for in the history of your organization, and no offense, don't give me any of the baloney, some of the guys they've had, I mean a real Hall of Fame running back, a big time, and that's what he brings. I knew that's exactly the way Belichick wanted to go. That's, hey, they've never had it. He was on the board. He was there for the taking, and Bill went out and got him. And I've said this along. You know, again, when you got 5 running backs, you don't have one. Now they've got a running back, guys. How about that?
Yeah, and you can gloat all day about it. So yeah, I'm impressed, though. You've taken the high road for the most part. But
he really is a good back. Yeah. It pains me to say that, but he is very good.
Well, when I saw it, when I saw a running back with a second pick, and of course, as you said, a big move today that sort of made me feel a little bit better by getting Trent Brown, although he's coming off of shoulder surgery, major surgery off in the off season. But we'll see about that. But when they worry about his size, it's all I heard about today. He's 6'2", 313. But, you know how tackles are. I mean, most of them are 6'4", 6'5", and that's an important factor. But he also sounds like that classic Patriots hybrid guy who can play all along the front line. And I think that was one of the real appealing things to Belichick.
Yeah, I think the pick of Wynn is good because of the versatility. And the versatility in a number of ways. One, you lose Nate Solder. Two, you lose Cameron Fleming. So there's need there for bodies on the offensive line. You've got Joe Tooney, who struggled at the end of last year at guard. So maybe Wynn can profile inside and play that position. Shaq Mason's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, so you might not be able to re-sign him. So it gives you some depth and some versatility there. I think that's a good pick. Sony Michel, who's his teammate and his roommate in college, said that he's the best offensive lineman that he's come across in quite some time. I like that pick. He was a second-team All-American. He started all 15 games last year at left tackle. The thing on the Michel pick, Arnie, is it just feels like to me, and again, this is not a knock on Sony Michel. I think that he is also a very good player. But it feels like to me, in some ways, a failure on the part of the front office. And you went out and you invested money in Rex Burkhead, and you went out and you invested money in Mike Gillisley, and you went out and you invested money now in Jeremy Hill, and then you had to go and spend this kind of draft capital to get a running back. So I look at this roster already and I say, well, Mike Gillisley and Jeremy Hill aren't making this team, and they're going to go through and play the season with Sony Michel and Burkhead and James White, and that might be it. So you spent money at the running back position, and now you're not going to use guys. That, to me, it feels like a bit of a failure.
Well, hey, if you like, you don't want it to be a failure and drag on. It's kind of like a marriage. If you know it's not going to work after a year or two, you don't wait 7 or 8 years and say, you know what, we gave it a good 7, 8 years. Maybe it's time to get divorced. You cut your losses early. That's what Belichick's doing. At least give him credit for that. You understand what I'm saying? At least he's saying, you know what, I'm going to cut my losses, and I pretty much had enough, and I'm going to move on. By the way, real quick on the Top Fair Tire text line, Eric in Virgin says, LOL. Curtis Martin isn't a Hall of Fame running back who played for the Patriots. All right, please stop your baloney. You played for the Patriots, what, for 2 seasons, guys?
Oh, wait a minute. Like, no, a lot more than that. 6, 7, maybe. Definitely not 2.
Look that up, Brady.
I am looking it up right now.
I'll say 5 or 6.
He played for the Patriots for 3 years.
What?
Okay.
And so, 8 years with the Jets.
Curtis Martin is a Jet. He's not a Patriot, so stop with your baloney.
I'll be damned.
But that's what they've missed for a long, long time there. So I'm sorry to interrupt there, Brady.
No, but I hate it when you interrupt, and then it turns out you're right.
Yes.
That makes
yes.
it even doubly worse. So I have to eat crow yet again. But I don't know. I just looked at this. I said, shouldn't you be looking for at least drafting something of need? I don't know, defense? I mean, they've now got their number 3 picks already traded. And they get an offensive guy. And then their first 2 picks yesterday were both offensive players. At what point do you – and I'm assuming they're going to address that tonight, so this will be a moot point. But, I mean, they're 3 for 3 on offense so far.
Well,
they're going to do better tonight. I know we're going to get to this later on. They're going to do better tonight than they did in round 1.
Really?
That's where they're usually shining. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they need to do well tonight because they don't have a 3rd-round pick, so and they don't have a 4th-round pick. So they need to hit – on both of their 2nd-round picks, and I got to think one of them is going to be a quarterback because they're not going to wait until round 5 to pick a quarterback.
So that means for the first 3 rounds, not until tomorrow, will they address linebacker or – I mean, it'll be either linebacker or pass rusher. One of those, if not 2, will go unaddressed through the first 3 rounds.
Or defensive back.
Yeah, all the things they need. So, I mean, there's a pile of things they need on the defensive side of the ball.
I mean, they're going to take a quarterback tonight, I have to believe, especially maybe even with that first of the 2 picks. Other things in the Town Fair Tire text line, Mojo and Milton, stop comparing Elliott to Barkley. Elliott had an O-line to rush behind. Barkley does not. Jack in Hinesburg says a play-action option for the Giants will be woken up thanks to Barkley and Odell and Sterling Shepard, and maybe Dez Bryant will have a chance to catch more passes. So that's what... then someone else says, maybe the Giants are higher on Davis Webb than people realize. What are our thoughts on that? I still think they'll take a quarterback maybe today also. Arnie, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we got to talk about the Celtics.
All right, we'll get to that big game coming up soon because we got a game 7 coming up, but that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon routine. People of planet Earth, we appreciate you. The Huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Friday. My goodness, it's beautiful out here in Southern California. I wish you guys were out here. I got to tell you, it's sunny and just like 75 to 80 degrees. It's always 75 and 80 degrees out here, guys. I've never seen weather like this.
Yeah, I'm just giving up on Mother Nature. I'm just getting on the bike tomorrow and riding all day. I don't care. I don't care if there's a funnel cloud coming out of the sky.
It's pouring at the moment, Arnie, so you're missing that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I can tell.
It just crushes me. What's going on with the Celtics now? Three games apiece. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we are headed to game seven. No one expected it to be easy, but we didn't know if it was going to be this frustrating at times. Celtics lose yesterday 97-86. Game seven is Saturday night. Richie, let's start with you here on this. What did you make? Because, I mean, I watched the Celtics, but I was more invested in the NBA draft and the NFL draft. I'd like to know what people were doing last night. Red Sox were on, draft was on, Celtics were on, hockey was on. What were you watching? Yeah. Tell us on the Town for Tire text line. But you were watching the C's. What were your takes?
I was 50% C's, 40% Red Sox, and 10% draft.
Really?
For me, it was just kind of waiting to see what the Patriots were going to do.
I watched every pick.
Yeah. Well, because once the Giants and Jets picked, it was like, okay, I'm going to go up. There's just so much. This has been an absolute fantasy month for Boston sports teams. Not necessarily because of a lot of winning. They've done their share of losing in the last week or two. But every single night, games that really matter on – multiple games involving Boston sports teams. So last night, I watched a lot of the Celtics game, and it was frustrating. They just could not keep up with them in transition. I don't know what the final scoring total was, like 35-4. I
mean, Celtics had six fast break points.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Milwaukee had 34. There it is, 13 of 19 shooting. So, I mean, they just outran them. And the turnovers were awful, and Antetokounmpo was just, that was him, man. There it is. You know, it's like, when you hear that guy is only getting 10 shots off in a hugely important game in Game 5 in Boston, you're thinking, he's coming back with his hair on fire, and sure enough, he did.
Yeah. We said that last time. I said he had 10 shots. It's not so much that he went 5 of 10 that he only had 10 shots, though, and he was going to come out and said, if we're going to go down, it's going to be me taking shots, and that's exactly what he did, 31. But there was no spark for the Celtics, especially off the bench. Morris didn't have a good game. Smart didn't play well. They didn't shoot the three wells out there. It just didn't have that spark that they usually have with their players. Even if they're not scoring, they're rebounding, they're playing defense, they're blocking shots, bench points just weren't there. So I thought they missed that spark, but you could just wipe that all away now. At home, at game number seven, just as long as Giannis doesn't go off, I mean, it's going to be tough, but I think the Celtics should be okay, but it is going to be a fun one to watch.
The thing that worries me about the Celtics the most right now, guys, is just it's the offense in general. Look, if you hold a team to under 100 points now in today's NBA, you should win. That's how it's such an offensive-centric league now that if you can hold your opponent under 100 points, you should win. And they held them to 97, and they lost. They only scored 86. And, Arnie, you mentioned the scoring. The Celtics did get almost nothing off of their bench. Marcus Morris had 14. And other than that, I mean, you're looking at 2, 2, and 6 by bench players. They're not getting anything. And their stars are not playing like stars. And we've always said that if you're going to pull an upset, and not that the Celtics over the Bucks is an upset, but winning on the road is somewhat of an upset. Your stars have to do what they're supposed to do. And you look at it here, Al Horford only had 10. You throw in the fact that Jaylen Brown only had 14 when he's gotten 30 a couple times in this series. They need people to be on the high end of their scoring averages rather than the low end. Right now, they're just not getting that consistently.
Yeah, you look, I'm not going to harp too much on Brown, but I mean, that's just not him. It just wasn't a typical Celtics game. You could take game six. I mean, I hope they don't show it to the team because there's nothing you can learn of value from them. It's like one of those things you just throw it into the fireplace and say, we're going to have to come out and hope things fall our way in a game seven back at home. There was no redeeming qualities in this one. I even hate to look at the replays or the box scores on this one. That's how bad of it. Wasn't that they played miserably? They just never got over that hump to make a running things, and it was just kind of frustrating, to be honest with you.
And Horford standing still defensively. I mean, he finished with 10 and 10, so I guess officially you give him a double-double offensively. But, and I mean, Rozier, it's like two different players at home and on the road. He went 5 for 17. I mean, he had 16, 7, and 5 last night, which sounds pretty good, but it took him 17 shots to do that. And when we talked about this yesterday going into this game, it just felt like everyone knew they were going to lose, and they really... Does it surprise you that a Brad Stevens team even knowing that they had, you know, one in hand, if it were, as it were, sleepwalked through a potential, you know, a clinching game?
No, and I think that Brad Stevens still does a good job of getting his team ready to play. And again, he's got that defense playing better here. Early on in the playoffs, you know, early on in the first parts of the series, the Celtics defense was one of the worst of all the playoff defenses. They've gotten back to what they do well and playing better. They limited the Bucks yesterday from three-point range. They still didn't shoot well from out there. It was the offensive performance that didn't really step up. But the biggest thing was, as you started it with, the transition buckets. Because the biggest problem, and Brad Stevens acknowledged this after the game, Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk told me this on Champlain Valley Game Night last night, the biggest problem the Bucks present is their length and athleticism. And if you're going to get in a half-court game with a team that is significantly longer than you and can clog up passing lanes and make shots difficult to come by, that's a problem. They didn't get out and run. They didn't get some transition looks they've gotten early on in the series. That's where the game was won and lost.
And it was the second period. I mean, it was unbelievable. In fact, they played them dead even for periods one. If you add up 1, 3, and 4, the game was tied. But that second period, they were standing still defensively.
We call those quarters in basketball.
Quarters. Yeah. Yes, yes. Hey, I'm in hockey mode.
I'm just trying to save you from the mistake of the day.
That's all. Yeah. Either that or you're just trying to make it really easy for someone to win the mistake of the day. But I mean, yeah, I'm in hockey mode. Everything's a period to me. But, I mean, that second period was just atrocious, and they just wanted it more. And, you know, the thing is the home team is 6-0, and there's no reason to believe that the Celtics aren't going to come out tomorrow very fired up and win that game.
You say that you have to hold your team. If you hold your team to the other opponent to under 100 points, you should win the game. Vegas says it's going to take you to hold the team to under 100 points, over under 195. Boston, a 4.5-point favorite. So if you're going to win, you better think you're hoping holding Milwaukee to under 100 points, which is what Vegas says. Though, what are the Patriots going to do next? I'm looking forward to that. Time just flying by as we finish off hour number one. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. All right. This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Hour one just flying on by. So much to get to. Brady, a local move made at University of Vermont.
Yeah, two local stories that are interesting. One good, one not so good. We'll start with the not so good first. Chris Day spent 2 years as the head coach of the UVM women's hoop team. He announced his resignation yesterday. Now, I haven't seen it confirmed, but it's believed that he is going to take a job as an assistant coach at LaSalle University in the Atlantic 10. He's from the Philadelphia area. His family, as far as I know, was not living up here with him full time. So it's a chance to go closer to home, to be with his family, to move up in league, although it's down in title. But Chris Day done at UVM.
Yeah, and I mean, the handwriting was totally on the wall on this about three days ago when it came down that he was having some issues in his way of communicating, apparently, with some players.
But they said it wasn't because of that.
Well, does that feel like a little spin to you?
So Chris,
is it a coincidence that he left like 3 days later?
So Chris Day was being investigated for verbal conduct at UVM. Yep. People have said that it had nothing to do with that. It's a chance to go back and be closer to home.
Well, I want you to understand something. I'm not the college women's basketball expert, but you know that I was trying to get my niece to come up here and play. She's a basketball player from Los Angeles. She's going to go to Oberlin. She went to Middlebury. She checked that out. They loved her. They loved her at all these great D3s in the Ivy League and all that. I had a coach talk with Coach Day, and I said, look, my brother's a coach out in Los Angeles. Let us send you these girls that are dying to come out here to Vermont. You know, I know a girl like Jordan Canada, who's the star for UCLA, or Emmy Lou or Katie Lou Samuelson, who plays. She's a star at Connecticut.
Yeah.
I go, I happen to see these girls play because they played against my niece when I went to the games. I go, I know a lot of girls that are falling through the cracks. Let me give you their names. Just do your research. Look at them. I don't think he did. And to not do that, and to have 8 wins, you know, I think that's crazy. I think this job is a plum job. I wish Shulman would give me a call. I'd like to recommend a few people for that job. It's fantastic, you know.
And then we'll move over to what you mean. Chris Day didn't want to take the advice of Arnie Spanier. How dare he?
But, you know, it's that you don't even have to take my advice. And here's the sick part, guys. I want you to understand something. I said, look, just look at my niece. She'll come without a scholarship. It's not like my brother wants a scholarship. He makes a good living. He just wanted her in a great school like Vermont. Just look at the tape and look at the film. I don't think he did his homework, and that's upsetting to me.
And it's weird because when I met him for the first time in his introductory press conference, I came away incredibly impressed.
He's a great guy. He was a great guy to meet.
Yeah, it has nothing. It's not like he wasn't a good guy. He was a great guy, incredibly articulate, and he absolutely sold me that he was going to turn this thing around. But it didn't happen, and now it's onward. But, I mean, you're right when you call this a plum job. I mean, recently it certainly hasn't been. But the possibilities of women's basketball are huge. I can't tell you what it was like trying to get a ticket back in the Sherry Turnbull days when they'd go 30-0, the Carolyn Church days. You see the names hanging from the rafters at Patrick.
I'm not kidding around. I was talking to my brother about that job today. He was saying it's a plum job.
Yeah.
He knows girls here in Los Angeles that are five-star in Los Angeles that would love to come to Vermont. I don't know why it's dragging like that. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and expectations right now are at an all-time low. You come in here, and within 2 years, you turn this into a 500 team and take it from there, and you will have great crowds at Patrick Gym because they are here. They proved it a long time ago.
And good teams in the America East become good jobs other places. The woman who just had the UAlbany job, Joanna Burnaby McNamee, 2 years, 1 year made the tournament, just got the job at Boston College. Yeah. So you talk about it being a stepping stone location in the conference.
That's what happened with Kathleen Inglis at UVM. She ended up at BC, too.
Yeah.
What's the girl's name, the women's coach in Middlebury? Carrasco? Is it KJ Carrasco? They should give her the job. Or the girl from Tufts, Barubi, I think is her name. She's done a phenomenal. She's the women's USA women's coach. I don't know if she'll ever leave Tufts, but she'd be phenomenal.
Arnie, real quick, also before break, good news: UVM men's lacrosse standout Ian McKay named a finalist for the Towariton Award. That is the lacrosse equivalent of the Heisman Trophy. They're in there. They've got a 25-person finalist list now. He is on it. That's pretty impressive for a guy who's now a fifth-year senior, just drafted by Major League Lacrosse, second round of the Chesapeake Bay Hawks. So for Chris Fifes, who's gotten this program its first 10-win season in a number of years, now they're 10-3, and they've got a player on the national radar. You talk about a plum job, UVM is becoming a good one in lacrosse, too.
You bet that for sure. Hour one in the books will come back. More on the Giants draft. What are the Patriots going to do tonight? Are they going to get a quarterback? I say not tonight, but wait to hear who I think they're going to get. All that's coming up next. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It is a Friday. So much going on. We got round two of the draft. Of course, the guys back in Burlington. I'm in Los Angeles. And the Patriot fans, by the way, you should get more on the Town Fair Tire text line, Patriot fans, if you're liking what the Patriots did in round one. What do you think they're going to do tonight? 802-655-6672. You guys got trivia on Tuesday and the mistake of the day coming up also, right, Brady?
Yeah, go ahead, Art.
No, I was just going to say, my name's Rich, by the way, and I was just going to say no more California music for the re-entries.
No, just for
just a one-day thing.
That was a one-day thing for now. Maybe I'll bring it back on Monday.
Okay.
Do you want more Beach Boys?
Rich liked it. You liked the Beach Boys and all that, didn't you?
Well,
Rich,
I was kind of hoping for Going to California by Led Zeppelin, but yeah.
Is that another one that's like 107 minutes long of just instrumentals?
No, it's a 3-minute acoustic piece.
Yes.
No, it really is.
Like Stairway to Heaven, where there's like 6 minutes before there's any words.
No, Going to California takes a minute, but it's still. Yeah. No, it's a short, simple acoustic song.
Yes, Trivia Tuesday, 7:30 to 9:30. Mistake of the day. We give away that winner today, and you get in on the Town Fair Tire text line and that mistake of the day. If you do get the winner for the week, we'll get you that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester provides that, and they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
So, Arnie, how are things on Muscle Beach?
I will be going down, and I'm not kidding around, because I'm trying to figure out a place. I went to the YMCA. They're a little bit too good for me there. I'm a little intimidated there. So I'm not so sure I'm going to hang out that. But plenty of courts down in Venice, and it is right next to Muscle Beach. It's right next to the, you know, that big, you've seen the movies where the guys work out, and they're all buff right there at the beach. The courts are like spitting distance from the weight area. So I may go shoot some buckets and talk smack to the guys that are lifting weights. I love doing that.
Yeah, and you'll be in your muscle shirt so you can show off your pecs.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is yes, exactly. You could talk smack, and if you're lucky enough, you could run and get away from them because there's a lot of police in that area. So
I'll bet. Can't imagine why, especially at night.
But it's fun, though. I mean, it's good weather, and I'm certainly enjoying it. So it's good to get out here and see everybody for a couple weeks.
Arnie, the draft tonight. Let's talk first about – we'll get to the Giants in a second. We will get to the Patriots tonight. But real quick, let's recap the Patriots trade. Earlier today, Patriots acquired offensive tackle Trent Brown, and they got a fifth-round pick from the 49ers in exchange for the Patriots' third-round pick. So right now, as it stands, the Patriots will have two picks – in the second round, that'll be tonight, obviously. And then in the third round, the Patriots won't have a pick. In the fourth round, the Patriots won't have a pick. So, and then they'll have a fifth and 2 sixths. That rounds out the draft as it stands. But they get Trent Brown today. What was your thought on that move when you saw it?
When, you know, again, not to go and brag, but what the hell, I'll do it anyway. I said you can't replace the offensive line with a rookie when you have the best quarterback of all time like Tom Brady. I know you want to get some backup and injuries and all that stuff, but I said the only way to do it is to go out, free agency, trade for one, and we all said, well, where's their one? I'm not up on who was up, you know, who was being chopped around on the offensive line. But, man, did they land the good one. Look, I know Brown's coming off the surgery. If he's healthy, some people think he's one of the best in the NFL when this guy's healthy. So, geez, I mean, congratulations. Not only did you fill that hole, you filled it up with more than just dirt. You put cement on it and everything else. It's not going to come loose, barring an injury. That was tremendous because now you don't have to worry about that position anymore or look at the waiver wire when it comes to camps. That was a fantastic pickup, and all you did was give up a third-round pick.
Yeah, I kind of looked at their first-round pick and win, and I just thought, you know, okay, is he going to plug and play right away? Are they just going to put him out there? And is that your man to protect Tom Brady when he's 41 next year?
Right.
But getting Brown absolutely helps. Obviously, there's an injury concern. I mean, coming off a shoulder surgery, that's a tough position. Offensive tackle with shoulder issues, that could be a problem. But he is, like you said, I mean, just reading up on him, he's not a guy that I immediately had a vocabulary of thoughts about, but he's regarded as one of the premier pass-blocking offensive tackles in the league. So if you can keep him healthy, it's probably a one-year rental. But, you know, San Francisco isn't just giving him away. I mean, New England gave up a third-round pick for him. So
and as I was told on Twitter, when you think of it this way, they didn't really give up, but they did give up a third-round pick, but it's the end of the third round. They slid up into the beginning of the fifth round. So they slid down 40 picks. Okay. They didn't give away. They still have the same number of picks, but they just slid down 40 spots.
Right, and Trent Brown was completely expendable when the Niners drafted Mike McGlinchey in the first round yesterday. So, I mean, it's a good move for both sides as long as he stays healthy.
On Brown, number one, there's the injury concern. Number two, there's also the weight concern. He showed up to minicamp extremely out of shape. That was one thing that they were really upset with him about in San Francisco. And I'll say this, Arnie, it's a great move if it works out big time. And that sounds really cliche, and that sounds really, really simple. But, Rich, you said it best. He's a rental player at this moment. He has in the final year of his contract. So let's examine the scenarios. If he plays great and then they want to keep him, well, then they're going to sign him to big money and he's going to eat up a large portion of their contract as opposed to the guy in the third round they could have taken that would eat up nothing. If he plays great and leaves, well, then they lost out on a guy they could have had in the third round and they lose him. And then if he plays awful, then they just essentially forfeited that third-round pick when they could have used it. So if it works out great and they go and win the Super Bowl, then obviously everything is roses. But there's a lot of scenarios that don't point to it being the most favorable move.
Or one scenario is he plays out of his mind, the Patriots don't want to keep him anyway because he comes with a boatload of money. And remember, the Patriots will get rid of you a year or two early, then a year or two late. And the understudy wins, like, wow, look what I just learned. Wow, look what I just picked up from this guy. And he becomes an all-pro for the next 10 years. So maybe it works out. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Right. It's the one position, you know, and I've criticized them for their first, you know, for their late first-round pick yesterday of a running back to go with the seven other running backs or whatever they have. But you can't have enough depth at that position because everybody's constantly getting hurt. But, I mean, starting at right tackle, you got Marcus Cannon. Now you got Wynn inserted in there. You got guys like Ladrian Waddle. You got Matt Tobin. And there's several. There's like seven or eight names at that spot.
And remember, Antonio Garcia is a name that nobody remembers.
But Third rounder.
They took him last year, and he missed the entire season. So he's supposedly healthy now, and that's a guy who you took – in the draft last year that you didn't see anything of, so that's essentially like an extra draft pick.
Boy, doesn't it feel like the Patriots are really set offensively? I mean, doesn't it, after all these trades and drafts? I mean, what are we missing here? What's missing? They got seven guys at every position.
Another tight end. Another tight end.
Are we going to talk about what they're going to do tonight? If we're going to get to that, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They have, what, the 11th pick tonight and the 31st pick tonight, Brady? Did I have that right?
Let's see.
Number 43 and 63 overall.
They've got pick 11 and 31.
Yeah, the 43 is Garoppolo's trade. I hate to even bring it up.
Oh, boy. You should have gotten a heck of a lot more, certainly, than what you got for that second-round pick. But here's what I think is going to happen, and this is where it's going to be the steal of the draft if the Patriots are able to get him. If they decide they want to go corner and they get Josh Jackson out of Iowa, now I don't know if he's going to be there, the corner, he could be one of the top 5 or 10 picks. If somehow he falls to the Patriots' lap, the Patriots will get the steal of the draft and they'll get the cornerback for the next 15 years because he is phenomenal. If he is not on the board and the Patriots are sitting there and Josh Jackson's off, they will reach out and take one of the tight ends. The kid from South Dakota State, what's his name, Godard or something like that, or the kid from Penn State, the other tight end, which, let me tell you, those guys will be close. One of them will be off the board by the time the Patriots are picking number 11. So for the first pick, they'll be lucky if they get Josh Jackson. If not, I think they're going to reach out and take one of the tight ends. What do you think?
I think they need a tight end, and I wouldn't be opposed to them taking him in the second round as long as Josh McDaniels continues to be open to the idea of using a two tight end set, and as long as he can block, that's what I think the requirements would be. That second tight end has to be able to be a pass catcher and a blocker in the same way that Martellus Bennett was for this team 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl.
And also, Artie, the concerns I have here when we're talking about getting tight ends, I mean, they've really kind of put themselves in a little bit of a hole here. They have needs at tight end. We're saying they need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback. I'm going to interrupt you for a second, Arnie. They need a quarterback today. They need a quarterback in the second round because they should not wait until the fifth round because that's their next pick.
Okay, so that leaves them with one pick to fill tight end, linebacker, a pass rusher, and somebody in the secondary. One pick. Let's see that.
They don't have to take a quarterback here because really the only one left, and he'll be a second-round pick, I think, is Mason Rudolph. I don't know if the kid from Richmond, Loletta, is that his name?
Yes. Luke Falk at Washington State.
Yeah. Are those guys going to be second-round picks? I don't think so. I think you could probably, maybe the kid from Richmond will be. I'm not sure Luke Falk will be. And then there's a few others. I like the quarterback from Virginia, Burkett. I think he's got a lot of upside. You could get him much later in the draft and see if he develops because he'll be about 3 years behind Tom Brady. So if you really want a quarterback, I don't think you need to get one this round. But if Loletta, the kid out of Richmond's there, maybe they take him with that first pick, that number 11 pick. But I still think they'll go tight end or with Josh Jackson.
Mm. So much for the defense. I mean, it's just with no third round picks now. And I think what they did with their third round pick was that was a good trade. Absolutely. And there's no fourth-round pick, so now you're talking about your first defensive pick coming sometime in the fifth round.
I think the one thing we can all agree on is that today is a very important day for the Patriots draft. When you look at it and you say that you're going to have 60 picks or whatever where you're not picking, you need to hit on the two picks that you have here.
Yep.
The Patriots are in a golden position to have four picks within the first two rounds of the draft, and out of that, they need to produce three really good players because their roster is getting old. their roster needs. If they want to be set up for the future in addition to now, they need to get some core young players in, and that's going to come from these first two rounds. And they just don't have a third and fourth round pick.
No, and that's the part that they're going to miss out on. You see, now they'll have to think, what are we going to do? Because if we can't get through free agency, what's the best way to fill up through free agency? What we can't do, we'll take through the draft. Hey, if they had a lot of luxury, I was going to give you the analogy like this. You know, when you haven't had a steak in a long time and I take you out for steak and you're like, damn, that was good. I'll have a second steak. I'm like, whoa, slow down. You're like, don't bother me. I haven't had steak in 10 years. I want two steaks. When you haven't had a running back in a million years and you took one, nothing wrong with having a second helping a running back. Nothing wrong with doing that. Unfortunately, they don't have a third, fourth rounder. If they did, excuse me, I was going to suggest that they may have their eyes on Nick Chubb to go with his running back partner. How about a 1-2 combination like that for the next 10 to 15 years? I think Patriot fans would love that, huh?
You keep saying 15 years. What running back is playing 15 years?
Touch your brow, that's for sure.
And what defense? You're like, oh, if they take Josh Jackson, they got a corner for 15 years. Even Darryl Green didn't play 15 years,
right,
I don't
up
think.
Until he tears his ACL in game three of his rookie year.
I'll cut it down. But, you know, if they had a third or fourth rounder, I'd say they'd go after another running back and say, keep feeding me, man. This steak's really good. I'll have a little bit more. I don't see it. Town Fair Tire, Texline, Jim and Essex, they don't need to draft a quarterback at all this year.
Correct.
They only need a decent backup to Tom Brady. And possible. I still think they could take the kid out of Virginia. And if he doesn't work out, no harm, no foul. They can go with a project. And if it doesn't work out the next couple of years, we'll see what falls in their lap in the next two or three drafts.
Arnie, Saquon Barkley, you and I, not that we didn't like the pick, but we didn't agree with the pick, but let's accept the pick. Saquon Barkley is a member of the New York Giants. What are your thoughts on what he brings to the Giants offense?
Well, what he brings to the Giants offense is obviously the help to Eli Manning. Now people don't have to go ahead and say, let's see you run the ball. You got nobody to run, so we'll just go ahead and blitz you, and we'll go ahead and play man-to-man coverage on your wide receivers. Oh, and Odell Beckham Jr.'s hurt? Oh, my goodness. And Brandon Marshall's no good. And, wow, you guys are horrible. That's why you're 3-13. But now that you got a running game, and now you got to really respect the running game,
right,
it obviously opens up to the passing game, opens up to Eli Manning. I mean, the sky's the limit. They've had a good defense. I mean, just look at the difference it's going to have having a running game like that, 3-13. Maybe they'll compete for a playoff spot this year. Who knows?
And Pat Shurmur did such a good job in Minnesota kind of getting his running game and his passing game as one. And, I mean, what better guy to draft to make that happen in his new location? I mean, and I would imagine Eli Manning was probably standing right behind the guy saying, please draft Saquon Barkley. I have to believe that made him very, very happy. And I mean, clearly you could hear what Gettleman was saying last night after the pick to the media. There's no question in their mind. That's who they were going to take if he was there. They had absolutely no doubt.
They thought he was the best player in the draft. Good notes on Barkley. Look, he won the Paul Hornung Award last year. He's the nation's most versatile player. And that is the key word for me with him, is versatile. I have said all along that I think the running back position is now best split up and you're best not relying on one guy to do everything. Well, the versatility that Saquon Barkley provides, if he can be a guy who can carry the ball 15, 16 times a game, if he can be a guy who catches 4 to 6 balls a game, if he can be a guy who can pick up the blitz and be not a liability in the pass blocking game, that versatility becomes a massive win for the Giants.
Brady, what did I tell you? And it safely goes with New York Giant fans. Eli Manning, Tom Brady, they're older than dirt. That's not arguable here. We all know their ages. We all know they're up there in years. Last thing you need Tom Brady and or Eli Manning doing is going back to pass 40 times, 45 times, getting hit. You needed a running game. Isn't it funny? The Patriots decide for the first time in life to get themselves a real running back. The Giants said, hey, we're going to get ourselves a running back because we can't even afford to trade out now. We need Saquon Barkley. It's to protect their aging, or their past aging, but to protect their aging quarterbacks so those guys don't get hurt. This is like a Christmas present to Eli Manning and to Tom Brady, guys.
And it's a confidence in. It's also a show of confidence for Eli Manning, and that they aren't ready to push him out the door just yet. They may take a quarterback in this draft, but they're not ready to push him out the door just yet.
And what about Davis Webb? I mean, he's just sort of pushed onto the back burner in all cases. Does he have anything to do with the fact that they didn't take a quarterback for any reason?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think it's all about Eli Manning, loyalty to him, what they think that he has left, and Dave Gettleman's assertion that we need a Hall of Fame player at number two.
Coming up next, Bleacher Report, NFL draft expert Brent Sobleski. Did I get that right, Brady? Did I say his name right?
You did.
Tell me if I said it wrong. I hope I said that right. Well, anyway, he's coming up next right here on 103 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go! All right, welcome back here in the Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Exciting night. Last night, day one of the draft in our rearview mirror. Day two of the draft coming up here in just a couple of hours. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and talk about all the goings-on with a guy who covers the NFL and covers the draft pretty heartily. It's our buddy Brent Sobleski from Bleacher Report. Brent, how are you? I got to imagine pretty good because this is probably the culmination of 365 days worth of work for you.
Well, it's funny. First of all, thank you for having me. Second of all, my year is actually built around the NFL draft. So when everyone else is celebrating New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, my calendar doesn't officially change until April. So it gives you an idea how much emphasis I place on this singular event in the sports calendar because it is that important to me and my coverage responsibilities.
Let's start regionally and work outward. You called Isaiah Wynn, who the Patriots took, the offensive lineman from Georgia at 23, you called him the best pick of the first round. Why?
Well, I absolutely love when coaches think outside of the box, and that's nothing new in regards to Bill Belichick. But when you look at Isaiah Wynn, because of body type, most analysts, including myself, slotted him at guard. He went to the Senior Bowl and played guard because that's what NFL teams wanted to see. And it's simply due to the fact that he's 6'2", and instead of 6'5" to 6'7", like teams prefer among their offensive tackles. And yes, it's a completely different body type compared to Nate Solder, who falls on the opposite side of the spectrum. But Isaiah Wynn was arguably the most impressive prospect I watched from a consistency basis all last year. Now, I'm not saying he's an elite prospect, but just his ability to play the position at left tackle for Georgia at such a high level and to show the technique necessary to potentially play that position at an NFL level, it shows me that the Patriots are willing to try him on the blind side. And if it doesn't work out, slide him inside. But until he proves that he can't play left tackle, allow him to take over that position and show where he excels. And to me, that's thinking outside of the box when you're looking at an offensive tackle class that's generally viewed as woeful, and you didn't have very many options available to you. So that's why I like the approach as much as the actual player.
Well, one of the guys that he blocked for in college, he'll get a chance to block for in New England, and that's Sony Michel, who the Pats took at 31. Now, we can argue about whether or not the Patriots actually needed a running back, but nonetheless, what are they getting in Michel?
Well, what's nice about Michel is his skill set automatically slides into the modern NFL. You know, when you had him and Nick Chubb in the backfield, they're complementary pieces. Chubb was the workhorse downhill thumper. You know, he's just very physical runner overall. Michel is that game breaker. He's a guy that you don't necessarily want to put the entire load on him as a running back, but he's a home run threat whether you're handing him the football or passing it to him out of the backfield. So he gives you more dynamic traits out of your backfield, which to a degree the Patriots lack, especially with Deion Lewis signing with the Tennessee Titans in free agency. So now you have that guy that can be a nice complimentary piece once again in that backfield rotation and become maybe the guy that teams fear more from your running game because you never know when he's going to rip one off. He had a 40-yard runner longer in, I think, six games last year. It just gives you an idea of how explosive he can be every time he touches the ball.
Now, you mentioned the word complimentary piece. Is that somebody worth taking at 31 overall? Even as good as he might be, if he's not a three-down running back, is that somebody they should have? Is that a reach?
Well, let's look at today's NFL. Most players today are scheme-specific and role-specific. And, you know, when you look at the way the game itself is, with all the sub packages and the multiple different looks offensively, you need guys who can come in and excel in certain roles. And when you're sitting at the back end of the first round, we have to keep in mind that this year's draft class wasn't viewed as deep within that initial frame. Generally speaking, you had 20 prospects that most teams deem first round caliber. Obviously, there are 32 overall picks, so you don't have enough of those elite talents to really fulfill all the slots. So if you're New England, you find a guy who fits into what you like to do, how he fits into your backfield, how he can play alongside the talent that's already at the running back position. And if he can bring you something a little extra special, that to me, that gives you value overall. And what Michelle does is he gives you that ability to create chunk plays in both the running and passing game. And that's crucial in today's NFL because you can have chain movers. You can have the guys that can slowly matriculate the ball down the field. But it's the big plays that separate the great offenses from the average ones.
Brent Sobleski covers the NFL for Bleacher Report, and he's here with us on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Let's move over to the other side of Lake Champlain. A lot of Giant fans. Again, we can argue about whether or not Saquon Barkley was a pick that they really needed to make, but what are the Giants getting in him?
Well, to me, when you look at their situation, you know, how you build an entire draft class can really tell you a lot about a singular performer. When you look at Saquon Barkley, if we place him in a vacuum, he was a top two prospect in this year's class. I know some will argue he was the number one overall prospect, and I can't really quibble over that. I personally had Quentin Nelson just slightly ahead of him, but that's neither here nor there. You have a guy, much like Michelle, who now you're looking at in your offense, who can carry far more of the load in the running game and be an absolutely dynamic receiver out of the backfield. Very fluid. I was actually rewatching a little bit of Saquon Barkley just a couple days before yesterday's first round because I wanted to get a better feel for him in some of his biggest games. He's not the guy that's going to pound it between the tackles consistently, even though he's 233 pounds. Who I liken him to is a bigger and stronger Reggie Bush. And that's not a slight by any means. It's simply you need to know how to utilize him because he can just be a big-time threat in multiple different phases of the game, and that's including special teams. But when I started this description of Barkley, I wanted to point out what they do with the 34th overall pick will be instrumental to how you can receive the Barkley pick. Because if you're sitting at 34 and Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph's available, you look brilliant because you get who you believe was the number one overall talent in the class, plus still your future franchise quarterback. Maybe you decide to start building the offensive line with a Will Hernandez or James Daniel, who I both have first-round grades on and weren't selected in that opening frame. If you start building that roster in that regard to really complement Saquon Barkley and how you're going to be long-term, to me, that's what's crucial to what Dave Gettleman is doing right now and how we can receive Barkley as an overall talent.
You talk about Mason Rudolph maybe being a selection for the Giants. The Patriots, a lot of people think this is the time they need to take a quarterback, and they don't have a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick at the moment, so it's got to be in that second round. Who might be available for them that would be a good fit?
Well, I already mentioned Mason Rudolph, and most likely if they were to acquire him, I would see a trade-up scenario, but we'll have to wait and see if he gets past the Giants or not. If he's off the board, I would immediately look to two players who they showed extreme interest in during the pre-draft process. First would be Kyle Lauletta, who everyone and their mother has associated with the Patriots since people learned of him at the Senior Bowl and how well he performed. The Richmond quarterback, obviously, is a two-time team captain. He had two majors. One of them was leadership, former lacrosse player. If that doesn't say Bill Belichick player, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
And if that's not Kyle Lauletta, the team has also had a lot of interest in Luke Falk, the Pac-12's all-time leading passer out of Washington State. Granted, coming out of that Mike Leach air raid scheme, but that didn't prevent them from selecting Jimmy Garoppolo a few years ago when he came out of that similar system at Eastern Illinois. The thing about Falk is he prepares, and he's very mentally similar to Tom Brady, so that's why I think it'd be a good match to learn for a couple years under him. So there are options. If you want the quarterback, there's three sitting there now that would all be solid fits that you can hang your hat on as the guy that's going to eventually replace the GOAT.
We'll get you out of here on this, Brent, and we'll talk about the draft in its totality. A lot of people hammering on the Browns for taking Baker Mayfield. Maybe not even for taking Baker Mayfield, but for taking him at number one when people thought they could have gotten him at number four. You like the pick of Baker Mayfield to Cleveland. Why?
Well, I do, and I believe he was the number one quarterback prospect in this entire draft class, and I've said so since last October. And the reason why is you want to talk about him being the first overall pick. Why? Let me just run down a quick list for you. First in adjusted yards per attempt, first in adjusted completion percentage, first in quarterback rating, first in completion percentage under pressure, first in quarterback rating on deep passes, first in quarterback rating on play action passes, first in quarterback rating on non-play action passes, all-time record holder FBS for the top two most efficient seasons in major college football history, and so on and so on and so forth. This is a young man that statistically, in his caliber of play this past season, screamed number one overall pick, and if he was 6'2" or taller, I don't even think it'd be in question. So when I look at it, to me, he was the obvious choice, and I was actually surprised because I had to see it with my own eyes that those quote-unquote football guys were willing to work outside the box a little bit and overlook his physical shortcomings to realize how good of a player he is and how his skill set translates to the next level.
Brent Sobleski covers the NFL for Bleacher Report and does it very, very well. A great follow on Twitter also. Brent, enjoy night two of the draft. Enjoy day three of the draft as well. We'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, and we can't exclude day four of the draft, which for me, I'm going to go rate which Avengers potentially die in Infinity War, and that'll make my entire weekend.
Enjoy the movie. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me.
There you go, Brent Sobleski, everybody. Bleacher Report, NFL draft expert. Had some interesting takes on that. And I think we all kind of see it the same way. If the Patriots are there, or the Giants could obviously take Mason Rudolph, but if the Patriots have a chance to take him, maybe they will. I don't think he's going to fall down that much. I still say look for Josh Jackson, the corner out of Iowa, which would make the Patriots have the steal of the draft. The kid's the real deal. I like him a lot. We'll see if he falls into their lap. And I expect the Patriots to take a quarterback sometime this weekend, guys.
Yeah, I think they're going to take one this weekend. I think it needs to be tonight. I want to see it be tonight. And if the Giants don't take one at 34, then there's a chance there might be some room there for Mason Rudolph to slide to 41.
I don't know if he's going to slide that much. But if he is there and the Patriots take him, then we know who the heir apparent to Tom Brady is, don't we, Rich? Then, then you'll be able to go and start sucking up the hip for crying out loud.
Well, I'll say it again. If they take a quarterback in that second round tonight, that leaves them as, at most, maximum, one defensive player drafted in the first four rounds, since they don't have a third or fourth pick anymore. I hate that.
All right, guys. We got to get the power play, right? The new and exciting game sweeping the country. You might as well start calling now. Brady's even got interns back there answering the phones. 802-655-6672. That's 655-6672. I asked Brady to dumb it down because I'm in Los Angeles. I don't have time for this. I don't have my shirt on. I want to get some rays. I'm going down to the beach. I'm going surfing. I'm going to play some basketball. So we dumbed it down for you, okay? Power play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. The three possible answers, of course, with the Giants taking Saquon Barkley, with the Patriots taking Sony Michel. We figure those are the two possible answers, Barkley, Michel, or both. Barkley, Michel, or both. It's really that easy. You dumbed it down, did you not, Brady, or what?
I dumbed it down.
It looks like it's dumbed down. I mean, it's really that. I mean, question three is got drafted. Both. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that tough. So
where is
start
that?
Calling. It's right there.
I don't see that one.
Keep looking. Keep looking. 802-655-6672. We'll open up the prize vault. We'll make Brady pull out something really, really cool. Power play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. If you get that question wrong, you will hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, we don't care. You'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you got question four wrong, you're probably right, but we still don't care. You'll hear this. And we move on, and this is how we play power play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. The three possible answers, Saquon Barkley, Sony Michel, or both. So, Brady, if I said to you, was drafted by the Giants, you would say?
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, you're so good at this game. Brady's never got one wrong
in
about 2 years. It's unbelievable. Rich, if I said to you, was drafted by the Patriots, you would say?
Sony Michel.
Oh, gosh, you're so good at this game.
Yeah,
if you both
you.
Ever called in, you'd win right away.
Oh.
Brady, if I said to you, was drafted in the NFL, you would say?
Both.
People, why do you make it any harder than it's got to be? Power play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. Barkley, Michel, or both? Barkley, Michel, or both? So, without further ado, it is time for power play. All right, let's start with Mark in Essex. Mark, are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three possible answers, Mark?
Barkley, Michel, or both?
Confidence level through the roof.
3,000 miles away.
Wow.
Went to Whitehall High School.
Barkley.
You got that right. Was ranked a five-star recruit out of high school.
Both.
No, I would have guessed both.
So would I.
But he got one right, though. I'll give him that. 802-655-6672. Geez, how do you know he went to Whitehall High School? Where'd you get that one from, Brady? Let's go to Harry in St. George. Harry, are you ready for power play?
Yeah, guys, go ahead.
What are the three answers, Harry?
Barkley, Michel, or both.
Once again, confidence level through the roof. Went to Whitehall High School.
That was Barkley.
Was ranked a five-star recruit out of high school.
I'm going to go with Michel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Originally committed to play football at Rutgers.
Let's go Barkley.
Uh-oh.
Yes. His older brother plays in the CFL.
I'm going to go with Barkley as well.
No. All right. He set the path, guys.
Yeah, he got three. We need, but all the lines aren't filled, Arnie. And just because you're gone, we're not changing the rules.
Anyway, you made it a little bit hard, but I'm not going to mix it up. I'm not going to mix it up on you guys. So lines are open. Fabulous prize. Remember the last time we said fabulous prizes? 802-655-6672. 655-6672. Last time we said fabulous prize, you found Red Sox tickets, Brady.
I know. I searched in the prize closet, and there was Red Sox Royals tickets.
Wow.
don't have those for today, but
I was going to say maybe Celtic tickets for game 7?
No. I've
no?
actually got
no?
Well, your wife's looking to clean up your house, so she brought in a bunch of your stuff. We're giving that away.
Oh, great. You can do some of that away.
Including Barksdale.
Yes, my dog.
Yes.
We'll just start giving my dog away.
Yes.
Or the one that bit me on the nose, Stanley.
Do you miss your dogs?
Yes, of course. Well, the little one. The other one I'm not so sure yet.
Oh, stop. Who do you miss more? Your dogs or your wife?
Of course I miss my wife. What kind of question is that? She's mad at me. She's going out tonight boozing. So
because,
stay away from my wife. Stay away from her.
Wow.
She's going out because she's mad at you?
No, she's going out with a coworker.
Uh-oh.
Another coworker.
So your wife, while you're 3,000 miles away, is going out boozing on a Friday night?
Yes.
So in other words, you hold her back from doing that every other Friday?
I guess. I never hold her back. She can do whatever she wants.
Wow.
I never hold her back. Yeah.
Kyle is on the line.
All right, let's go to Kyle. Kyle, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready.
What are the three answers, Kyle?
Michel, Barkley, or both?
Confidence level not through the roof with him, but we'll give it a whirl here. Went to Whitehall High School.
Barkley.
Was ranked a five-star recruit out of high school.
Michel.
Originally committed to play football at Rutgers.
Barkley.
His older brother plays in the CFL.
Michel.
Nice.
Played in the Rose Bowl.
Barkley.
Oh.
That's a tough one.
That's
now,
a tough
do you mean
one.
Played in the stadium known as the Rose Bowl or in the game, the Rose Bowl?
In the game.
Okay.
In the game. Well,
all right.
If you played in the Rose Bowl, the game, that means you played at the stadium.
Right, but I understand
you could have
that.
Played but at the stadium, but just the UCLA game.
But you could have played just a random game in the Rose Bowl that wasn't
that
the Rose
true.
Bowl.
I said played in the Rose Bowl, not at the Rose Bowl. Josh in Burlington.
Josh in Burlington. Josh, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready, baby. Get it to me.
Wow. Oh, yeah. What are the three answers, Josh?
We got Barkley and we Michelle and both.
Confidence level, I'm still a little worried. There's something off about him.
Just
I'm
give him
sure.
the prize now.
Yeah. Went to Whitehall High School.
We got Saquon Barkley.
I was afraid he wasn't going to get that one right. Was ranked a five-star recruit out of high school.
Michelle.
What is there, like a two-hour delay? Originally committed to play football at Rutgers.
Saquon Barkley.
His older brother plays in the CFL.
That's Michelle.
Played in the Rose Bowl.
Got to say both.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice job.
Has had more career college rushing yards.
Barkley.
Wow.
Wow. Had more career college receptions.
Got to go Barkley.
Whoa. Wow, he's really guessing
wow.
that.
Wow.
Is he in L.A. looking over my shoulder? competed in track and field in high school. Oh!
Wow, he set the table. Get those folks.
I thought he was going to get that one. Both, though, would have been a good. I could see where he thought that.
That's it. No more.
That's it. No more.
Wow, just as they got close.
Wow.
That's it. No more. You got to give the answers.
You are heartless.
Went to Whitehall High School. That is Barkley. I don't know where anybody was going to get that one right.
Just Brady. You just guess, and then the first person gets it, and then you know.
Was ranked a five-star recruit out of high school. That's Sony Michelle. Why, Saquon Barkley wasn't a five-star recruit?
Four-star.
Wow. Originally committed to play football at Rutgers. Well, if you thought about it, you would have said Saquon Barkley because he went to Penn State.
Well, and he's from New Jersey.
Well, originally from the Bronx, I thought, though.
Okay, but he's now from New Jersey.
Arnie will tell you he lived in his basement or something.
Yes, exactly. His older brother plays in the CFL. That's Sony Michelle. I did not know that.
He plays for Saskatchewan, and he was rookie of the year in his division or something like that.
They're Rough Riders, baby.
Played in the Rose Bowl. That is both.
Yes, Penn State played USC a couple of years ago, and last year Georgia versus Oklahoma.
Okay, let's see. You had more career college rushing yards. That's Saquon Barkley.
Yes, but it's only by like 200.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that. Had more career college receptions.
That is Barkley by a decent amount.
Okay. Competed in track and field in high school. I would have guessed both, but I guess Sony Michelle is the only answer there.
Yes, Sony Michelle.
Is at least 6 feet tall.
That is Barkley.
What is Sony Michelle listed at?
5'11".
Okay, and we would have nailed you on the last one. Birthday is in February.
Both.
That's both.
Both.
Yes.
Like,
what are the days?
Know that.
You know them?
It's like February 9th and February 17th.
Yes. Nobody. You would have gotten all nine right and you would have gotten blown up on the 10th one. When we get back, last story standing as we wrap up the show for the week. Get you ready for the weekend. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up on Sports Saturday at 11:40, it's Hot or Not, thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Aaron has takes for the guys, but are they hot or not? Hot or Not, Saturday at 11:40, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Congrats on...
It's time for one last piece of news, gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Brady, I wasn't too crazy about your Last Story Standing. Can I pull an audible on this one?
That's kind of nasty.
You can. It was nasty. That's why I wanted to yell at the guy. But yeah, you can. Yeah, you can pull an audible.
Well, the NHL, Rich, has reportedly made a call to the Boston Bruins. Do you know? Have you guys heard about this story?
They said that was the person you're going to tell us denied it. But I still want you to tell the story.
Okay. Well, the Boston Bruins regarding the antics of winger Brad Marchand. You see, no suspensions or fines this time around. But you see. It seems like they want him to refrain from licking opposing players. It was reported that the NHL reached out to the Bruins to tell Marchand to curtail the harassment. Matter of fact, Marchand became entangled with somebody from Toronto in one of the games, and he quote-unquote said, "I thought he wanted to cuddle." Marchand said after the game, "I was just trying to get close to him." Wanted him to stop licking opposing players.
Oh, how about a sense of humor, NHL? Really? How can that not be funny? I mean,
Well, come on now.
Well, but it wasn't alleged. I mean, it's right there on video for everyone to see. I thought he was kissing his neck, but he was actually licking his neck.
Yeah. That's kind of like Stevenson, right? Lance Stevenson blowing in LeBron's ear. Remember that one time?
Yes.
So they reached out to the Bruins and said, knock it off. So there you go. That's a little bit better for last story. The Swan story kind of got me mad. So
yes, it got me mad too.
So, right, so Arnie, what's your deal? You've got sunshine and a weekend in L.A.
Yeah, I do work on the weekends. Our studio's out here for Fox, but I'm going to go ahead and play a little hoop tonight. Just chill. I'll take pictures while I'm down at Venice Beach, so you'll enjoy that. But thanks to intern Logan, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And intern Nathan?
No, he's gone. Remember, he's done.
And intern, was he from last year? And intern... everybody else. For Brady and for Rich, I'm Artie Champlain Valley Game Night. Coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The only full-time FM sports station in Vermont. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3 ESPN.
Day one of the NFL draft provided lots of drama and lots of good news if you're a Patriots or a Giants fan. First off, the Giants took Saquon Barkley, running back from Penn State, with the number two pick in the draft. We'll get into what that means in Champlain Valley game night and what Barkley brings to the team. Giants will be on the clock with pick number 34 as we start day two. Patriots used both of their first-round picks, one to draft offensive lineman Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia, and two to draft running back Sony Michel, also from Georgia. Again, the Pats, two picks in the second round tonight. They traded a third-round pick, though, earlier today for offensive lineman Trent Brown, who they acquired from the San Francisco 49ers. The Bruins will kick off their Eastern Conference semifinal series with the Lightning. 2:30, we'll have the coverage for you on Saturday on AM 960 The Zone. And the Celtics and Bucks, they're going to Game 7, and we'll have that for you 7:30 on Saturday on AM 960 The Zone. The Red Sox were winners yesterday, in part to a home run by J.D. Martinez. They'll take on the Tampa Bay Rays, another series with our friends from Tampa, 6:25 right here on 101.3 ESPN. Champlain Valley Game Night is coming up next on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And remember, you can take us anywhere, always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app. And this SportsCenter update brought to you by our friends at the Food Science Corporation. They're hiring now for their Williston location. They're hiring machine operators, and it's great pay, great benefits. Learn more online at foodsciencecorp.com.
Champlain.